This time on Cosplay Con Crunch.
I was depressed.
Allegedly, I gave John a Uzi pack.
I used a Tupperware container as a pocket because I didn't know how to sew.
On a Tuesday.
America is not the underdog at
the end. Holy shit! We're gonna fucking pick a fight with a charity?
Can we just do, like, instead of a normal question, can I just do, like, an atonal scream?
Why is that?
It's been a bit of a month, one might say. It's been a bit of a month, Ryan.
I guess that's definitely true. I think that my issue with it is that we kind of knew after Kineticon happened that it was just going to be a nonstop gauntlet.
It was not supposed to be the gauntlet that it was. What? I was prepared for exactly one type of gauntlet, and then new and inventive gauntlets popped up.
The only gauntlet that I was, you know, like I knew was gonna suck from the start was the move.
Yeah, that was the only gauntlet.
That was supposed to be the only gauntlet?
Yeah.
What would you say are the other ones? I know the lack of closing has definitely been one.
That's the big one. The fact that we are 14 days out of our closing date and we still have ownership of a house that we don't live in. To the point where when we were in Connecticut, last weekend, I went to our house and picked tomatoes and peppers from the garden.
I think that was pretty cool, though. We then, like, introduced them as an invasive species here in Virginia. They're now just living in our fridge.
No, I'm gonna make something with them later. Probably sandwiches. I like sandwiches.
I'm gonna take them and I'm gonna plant them. That's what we're gonna do. We're gonna invasively grow tomatoes here.
Well, they're tomatoes from Latin America, so already invasive.
Fantastic.
Most tomatoes are. Tomatoes are native to Latin America.
You're telling me that Europe didn't have tomatoes until the triangular trade happened?
Yeah, that's why tomatoes in like pasta sauce isn't really a thing except in like Sicily. And Naples, which were, like, the quote-unquote poor parts.
But now, like, imagine Italy without tomatoes, right? If they never, like, globalized. If we never globalized.
Yeah, Ryan, I went to Italy, and I, like, struggled to find a red sauce.
This is incredible.
I told you this when I got back from Italy.
No, I know, but I thought that was more of just, like, a where you were was in, like, Rome, and Rome has... Rome is not known for any red sauce.
Yeah, but I was also in Florence and Venice. And I ate out there.
I guess. I don't know. My thought was that, you know.
No, I had ravioli with, like, an orange sauce.
What was the orange?
I think it was peppers. I don't know. It might have been a little bit tomato, but it was, like, the only one that had, like, a red sauce in it.
I know that you don't like Alfredo. Did you perchance try it over there? Okay.
I tried oil sauces instead.
Okay.
I can't believe we didn't ever talk about me going to Italy and you going to Vegas on the podcast.
No, but we did do that. In fact, I did reach out to our podcast fathers. They let us know that...
The notion of Spencer and John made Nightwing upset.
He remembered.
And they certainly remember him.
Yeah, they finally got to meet Nightwing, and John was like, well, he's a sweetheart, what's the thing? And then, like, within 20 minutes of everybody meeting Nightwing, they're like, well, I get it, I understand. We're now recording in our new place here in Virginia. The house that we're in is definitely bigger, but this is...
so much nicer. And newer. It's half a century newer.
Yes, but this is the other thing. The new house that we're in has, like... there are bigger rooms across the board, except for where we are recording right now.
It's our, like, computer office. Like, Ryan's desk is on one side and mine is on the other. And so we're recording in here. And it's like our bedroom used to be with, like, a slanted ceiling. It's just our bedroom was a slanted ceiling over, like, 17 feet.
This is slanted over, like, maybe 10. 11. Yeah, I think it's maybe 11 horizontal.
It is 12 by 10.
Oh, man.
I measured it because I had to get the measurements from all the rooms. Anyway, welcome to Cosplay Con Crunch, a podcast where two cosplayers talk about cons and crunching and their experience at them. And boy, howdy, do we got a special episode. We are reviewing Kineticon a month late. That's because of more... One of the big issues that Ryan mentioned up top is that it took until quite literally the last day possible for our furniture to get to us. Which means we didn't get our computers until the last day possible, and that was already August, I think, 3rd?
It was 3rd. 3rd. We
August 3rd. On top of that, I wasn't getting paid because you have to, there's a bunch of military gobbledygook that basically explains why I wasn't getting paid, but I still wasn't. So
yeah, you were eventually going to get paid for the time that you were here, but you hadn't been paid yet.
Yeah. And so that put a snafu in a bunch of other things, and we had to do a lot of really weird things.
We literally, to get around it. To clarify, we lived in functionally big empty house. With boxes, no, like, because...
And not even boxes for a
while. No, we didn't have boxes for a while. We got boxes on the 3rd, and so slowly, like, now we've finally unpacked most of our stuff. However, for a while, we were living in what I would say squalid kind of conditions in this big house. We were living on an air mattress for, like, 8 days, which for MJ is apparently camping normal, but for me was not by any means normal.
Well, that's because, like, the one time you went camping, you drank yourself to sleep.
Now I've been camping 3 times.
No.
You've never taken me camping. Well, no, you've taken me camping twice. You've taken me camping 2 times.
I took you glamping in a cabin twice.
But well, I mean, this most recent time we needed a cabin.
Yeah, because we had 2 dogs. And then the military paid us for that, so.
Well, that's good. We stayed in a KOA.
Yeah, I love KOA. If you're ever traveling and you want, like, a kind of fun way to stay, try a KOA. They're all across the nation, and they're very fun, and they're normally cheaper than, like, large hotel rooms.
If I could ever get big enough to get a sponsorship, I'd take a KOA sponsorship.
Oh, that'd be so fun.
Campgrounds of America. And I wouldn't do one of those things where, like, you're in a podcast and it, like, cuts over to, like, a pre-recorded. I would actually read it out because I care that much.
I think they're great. I have a lot of really fond memories of doing them with my dad. There was a time when, and we had to travel, like, across the country, and we stayed at a KOA because we were like, eh, it's more fun than a hotel. And it was. And also, due to shenanigans of my dad getting a new job, he lived at an RV park for, like, 8 months. And I would go visit him because it was only, like, 2.5 hours away from my college.
And the RV park wasn't the same as the KOA, though, no?
No, it was a different... He was going to stay at a KOA or RV park, but they didn't have monthly rates for the months that he was trying to stay there.
I see.
And so he had to find a different one.
He was probably in a similar situation than we were because we both have, like, you know, like, decent jobs. Your accommodations did not reflect that.
No, I would explain to people that my dad, because I was like a freshman in college, I was explaining to people that I was like, yeah, I'm going to go visit my dad and like his place in Orlando. And they're like, oh, he has an apartment. I'm like, no, he's staying in our old RV. And then everyone thought my parents were divorced. And I was like, no, they love each other. They're actually depressed that they're not near each other. But my mom is trying to sell a house.
It's one of those things where you hear it and there's only ever one picture in your mind. You're like, oh, that's, oh.
They called each other daily. You said it just for me, and our listeners are never going to know, but I couldn't stop laughing.
I do want to see him, you know? I want to know. I want to make known that I want to see him.
Yeah, that's fine.
And I would soon, except for the fact that I've looked into flights. They're so expensive. MJ, there's nothing.
Anyway, back to this. So yeah, we haven't been able to record for a while.
Kind of sad, because we have a lot to say, actually.
And on top of that, we have a contractual obligation to say it.
Oh, well, yeah.
Which is a part of our thing. So we're going to go over this year, 2025's KinetiCon, which was a fun time. If you listen to our parent podcast, Eric H. Dragon Ball Z, John and Spencer already dropped an episode where they talk about not only the time staying at our house, how I apparently forgot to warn them that we were having a house party because we are in our 20s and they are in their 30s.
It was already kind of a party because
there were eight people in our house. So KinetiCon was the weekend of July 17th to July 20th. We then left Connecticut to move to Virginia on the 22nd. We arrived in Virginia on the 23rd. And I started work at the Naval Hospital
on the 24th.
On the 24th. It was a packed week that led into a more packed week that led into a packing week. We're going to break down our whole trip. So the first thing that we need to do is we kind of need to talk over the lead up to the con itself, which was I was able to reserve a fandom booth for our podcast network. So that meant that John, his lovely wife Kennedy, and Spencer all flew in. Well, Spencer drove
beautiful and lovely Spencer.
Beautiful and lovely Spencer, of course.
The parallelism there. It was just like, you just dropped it at Spencer.
Spencer drove in. John Kennedy flew in from Utah. Spencer drove up from the southern East Coast, making a road trip, apparently, as he came.
Yeah, actually, Spencer made so much of a trip out of it that he'd started an Instagram on his way up. Which I thought was funny because I randomly got...
Yes, Spencer, I also got the same notification.
Spencer notification. I was like, I don't know Spencer on Instagram. And it seems like out of his like generation. And then like I looked and I was like, no, that's definitely Spencer. Yeah, that's definitely him.
I love that he does the same selfie picture that my mom does, where it's just a little too high.
Just a little too out of frame.
Spencer just turned 36?
Yeah, Spencer's millennial. Okay.
35? 36?
All right, I was going to say, I think it's a Gen X like boomer feature for the most part. So.
Yeah, and a Spencer feature. But anyway, I got a message from one of the guys when I was trying to ask about information for the booth and like what we could do and what we could not do. And so I got reached out to by one of just the assistants that coordinates booths and tables and things. And he told me to reach out to Jason Linetsky, who is the assistant director of publications for Kineticon and has been working for Kineticon for 14 years now. Was like, reach out, meet recommendations and requirements for press passes. And I was like, that feels wrong.
Yeah, which was huge because in my mind, I was like, well, press, that doesn't feel right, because we're just like a little fandom type of thing. It would make no sense for us to have like actual privilege at the convention.
It costs nothing to try. Yeah. And I was like, fuck it, we ball. And so I did it. And then we got the passes.
Yeah, then we got the passes. And then Jason very graciously told us that if you wanted to do any interviews, let me know. And so then we tried to set up some interviews for a parent podcast. And
for the dads.
For the dads. And then also for us to see if we could like get any interviews. And we did.
And we did. We got a huge one with Jason, which talks about a lot of the behind the scenes, how concept changed in the last decades. And he was so fun to talk to. He was so kind. And it was also just kind of funny because we did this on Thursday in the evening. And we'll, like, get more into that, but it was just such a weird turnabout of how it worked out that it was just funny.
I've deleted the lead-up from my mind, but, like, it was strange. And we kind of, for a while, thought that it wasn't going to work out. Everything about the lead-up to Kineticon set for us to practically fail.
We should have fallen on our face.
We should have totally and completely eaten shit at Kineticon because nothing went the way that it was supposed to, but, you know, we kind of rolled with it. And then it worked better than I expected by the end.
So shout out to Jason above all else. Because he was a true MVP for getting us, like, through things.
Absolutely.
The way that he was like, send me an email of anyone that you want to interview. And I was like, you have two Dragon Ball voice actors. One of them, unfortunately, canceled because of an emergency. The voice of Tien wasn't there. And I was like, anyone that is down for cosplaying, that, like, is one of the cosplay guests that is down to be interviewed, and anyone on the operations side. And Jason was like, well, I'm probably one of the most, like, long-term guys for operations. So if you're okay with interviewing me, like, I'm down to be interviewed. And I'd be like, that sounds phenomenal. You've been doing this forever. Because he originally started on the pub. We're going to get more in this in the interview episode with him. But, like, he was on the publication side. He ran an old cosplay, like, newsletter magazine.
For him, it was kind of 2025 Kineticon was kind of a penultimate year because this was the first year that they brought press back. And so for him, that was a big deal. And he'd advocated for it so strongly because he'd started as press.
Let's get back into the weekend. So in the lead up, we talk about it. I got accepted and competed as Fierce DD Link. I got my time slot. It's for Friday. So I had to put all the finishing touches on that. One of my friends that was staying the night got there on Wednesday. That would be Lav_Scene_Cause, who I've talked about before. They did a phenomenal Sabo bunny suit at Katsu with one of our other friends who does an Ace bunny suit, with one of our other friends who does a Koala bunny suit, with one of our other friends who did a Robin bunny suit, and that other friend that did the Robin is Space Cause.
I don't even keep track of that, to be honest. That's
Ace and Sabo were returners, and I just got to know the other two very well.
Yeah.
So on Wednesday, we went out and we got dinner with Lav and Space, and then we went and saw Superman.
That was a crazy night.
That was a weird night. And so then Thursday morning rolls around, and our other two friends, Limoncello Clown and their partner, are driving in from New York. While they were driving in, I got to go and stand in line with all of our buds and wait for our badges.
Yeah, we kind of
and then that didn't work. And then I tried to go get our press badges, and that also didn't work.
We got split seed. I was waiting for Spencer to show up, so I stayed back at the house.
Yes.
And Spencer then came in, and Spencer was like, "Okay, so can you show me the packages that I had delivered here?" And I was like, "Yeah." So then I went through all the packages, and Spencer was like, "Oh, these are the mics that I had ordered for the interviews that we're gonna do." And I'm like, "Oh, nice." And then Spencer's like, "When is your interview set for?" I'm like, 45 minutes from now."
And while that's happening, I'm hucking my ass back from Boston because I had to go pick up John and his beautiful, lovely wife, Kennedy, from Boston International, which is one of the shittiest airports in the world.
To get to and to be at, just to be.
It's an awful place. Never get to Logan International Airport. Avoid it at all costs. Go to Providence. It's
Logan,
better.
More like Blogan. Shit sucks, bro.
That was a bad joke. No. Because you're going to have to edit in me laughing. Like, you're going to have to cover it. Never mind.
I'll find you laughing at another point in this episode, and I'll put it in.
Editing MJ here. Ryan did not edit this episode. Somehow I ended up doing it. So he does not get to edit in my laughing. It was a bad, dumb joke. So I'm driving back with John Kennedy, and we're talking about deep philosophical questions about life and the Mormon church. And then I get back and I immediately pick you up, and all of our friends are just at our house. And then we go and interview.
Yeah, we then
Jason, we immediately bail. Leave, yeah. We have to,
like, wow, this is such a, what a wonderful collection of individuals
that I all space. Care about so deeply, and I'm bye so bye. Glad to be sharing my house. Everyone has their own space that we set up. We're gonna ignore all of the boxes that are in our house.
Yes, because our house had just been boxed up, but the boxes hadn't been picked up yet. That was another reason that I thought that our weekend was gonna fail.
Yeah. Because there were boxes everywhere.
We were so sure that they were going to pick up the boxes, at least some of them before, and they picked up none of them.
We moved them as much as we could to make space for people, yeah. And we made a lot of space for a lot of people. Yeah. There was a total of 8 people in our house.
Yes, we had John and Kennedy upstairs in my office, mm-hmm. And we had Spencer alone in our little guest room, and then we had Limoncello Clown and
their partner, yeah. And Lav all in one room, which yeah. was luckily the second biggest room in the house.
Yes,
so Lav was on their own, like, twin bed, and then Limoncello and their partner were sharing a queen bed. Yeah. And so it was fine, and I cleared it weeks before.
Yeah.
Everyone was okay. This was not like a...
yeah, we didn't do...
Also, I will say Limoncello Clown is, like, a rat at heart, like, a 20-year-old rat at heart.
Brother.
Because when they asked me initially to stay at our house for this con, they were like, we'll sleep on the couch in the living room. We don't give a fuck. And I'm like, no. You're not doing that.
That's crazy.
Truly wild.
Everybody took it like a champ. And I've told MJ this since. But I think that might be like a New York mentality thing. Where yeah. it's just like you kind of just got to roll with it.
Yeah. We get the interview done with Jason. We have all of our press badges finally. And so we go to Watali, you can eat sushi. A tradition with us whenever we can get a big group of people. Yeah. John became a vacuum cleaner for like the sushi that we hated. And he continued to try and insist to my sister who showed up for us because she's cool. And I wanted my friends to meet my sister because I like my sister.
Because I like my sister.
I do. She's a nifty person. Everyone.
Yeah, it's funny because Alexa got to like run like a like pedantic like thing. I only gotten to hang out with Spencer in like smaller doses. Getting to see Spencer kind of just like in like general, it was.
Well, they
like,
also have a lot of overlapping interests.
Yeah, that's true.
So that was weird. They are both incredibly pedantic in the exact same way, which is slightly different to how I am incredibly pedantic.
Yeah.
Because both me and John will look at each other at some point and be like, this so doesn't fucking matter, like whether or not cereal is a soup. And the answer is no, you dumb fucks. Anyway, we're moving past that. We all have all you can eat sushi. We order so much sushi. Everyone's having a great time. I play like musical chairs with Limoncello and their partner and you and Lav, and we're all shifting. It's great.
Went to bed on a high.
And then at 8 in the morning, I wake up to get into Fierce Deity, and I run into the first hurdle I've never experienced before in my life, which is blindness.
Yeah, you've never actually... Well, you've worn those like whiteout contacts.
No, I haven't.
You've never worn that?
No.
I thought that the Giratina one was pretty
odd. No, that's because they couldn't get them in right.
Oh, they're normally fine?
Yeah, because I saw Fine with Gambit. I read in a book while at a pool.
Oh. Oh, wow. Okay. I guess so.
No, they are not white out.
Okay, so this white out really was
so
like
for, I was Fierce Deity Link on Friday. You were Ryan. Mm-hmm. And we had a photo shoot with our favorite photographer of all time, Figgleston, on Instagram. Please go follow him. Please go book with him. He is currently booking for, I think, Anime NYC.
Yes.
When this comes out, because that should be this weekend. And he is also booking, I think, next for not CCE, but a one after that. He does awesome editing. If you check out my Instagram page, my Fierce Deity has already been posted. And those are all edited by him. He added in the moon. And me fighting the moon, which was really cool for me.
You got to...
But that photo shoot was at 10:30 in the morning.
Yes. And
so we had to be there at 10:30 in the morning.
You then got to
Or 10 a.m. It was 10 a.m.
This is the pedantic that MJ is. You then got to enter that Fierce Deity costume into a contest, and this was like our first contest after a long time, I think.
It's my first contest that I've done by myself.
Yes,
this is true. I had to kind of do everything a little bit by myself. I had you helping me with 3D printing stuff, but for the most part, I did it on my own. Like, I had you show me how to fuse it, and then I had to fuse it, and then I had to do a lot of plastic dip. And then I had to do more plastic dip on the armor. This was the first time I've ever done armor.
That shit is the most toxic stuff in Mega Man.
Plastic dip will kill you. Please don't breathe it in.
It's so bad.
Please do it in a ventilated outside area with no, like, feedback loop whatsoever.
We had a shed that MJ got to use, and that was fine. Just to jump in it a little bit, you took that sword and brought it inside for, like, a little bit. Mm-hmm. And I swear to God, no, you brought it into the garage.
I brought it into the garage.
And because the garage, because it started raining, and because the garage is connected to the rest of the house, I started smelling it in my office.
Yeah, well, my mom was there, and she was going, and you were going crazy.
I was like, what is that? Oh my God. And you get a little bit just like on like your arm or like your hand or something, and you're like, what is that? What's that smell? I took a shower. I couldn't get it off of me.
Yeah, it was awful. My mom thought Ryan was sick. I entered that. I built the build book. Kennedy had to walk me down for judging because I couldn't see very far. And I got judged. I will spoil it now. I didn't place. One of our good friends, Ambulin Cosplays, did get third. Not only did she get third, she got bumped up a category and a level. So that's amazing. Good for her.
Yeah.
She was season 2 Jinx. With, like, a big gun.
Yes, I didn't recognize it as much because I haven't seen season 2 of Arcane. This is me outing myself now.
But I haven't seen season 1.
Yeah, that's fair. The only reason I hadn't is because I thought that we'd watch together.
Maybe I need to watch season 1. Ambulin keeps telling me that I need to watch it, and so I will.
It's really good.
With her. I know that Caitlyn becomes a Nazi briefly and then becomes less of a Nazi, but is still a fascist.
Yeah, she's a cop, though, so...
Oh, so there's no hope, a little bit.
Yeah, she's always been a cop, so
okay,
whatever.
Okay, cool. But I got some feedback for it. The big thing that I got feedback for is I have to put a little bit more effort into the detailing of the armor.
Yeah, which was the first time you did armor.
The first time I've ever done armor. I did get applauded for how I closed it, but it was a pattern that I did not modify at all for myself, and I learned I had to. I also need to learn how to style wigs.
That's when you were with Vigelson. Yeah, because I left you like about halfway through, and we tried to figure out the booth. The situation is, how much did they talk about it on their podcast?
A little bit, but I feel like we can also write it out for the people that don't listen to their podcast.
That's fair. So basically what ended up happening, we got to the convention, and we found out we were owed based off of like how like we had like talked to Jason and then like admin. We were under the impression that we were going to have a fandom table. We get there.
Fandom table are on the 6th level of the convention center, and they are up against the glass. There's only 8 of them. You buy them
literally
for $1.
Buy it for $1? Yeah, okay. And so, like, we get there, and all the fandom tables are already occupied. And so we're like, well, you know, we talked to Jason, and Jason said that we get a fandom table.
So
like,
I call him, because I get back from my photo shoot, and they still don't have a table. So I've been gone for, like, 30-40 minutes.
I talked to Kennedy, and Kennedy went to go, like, bug somebody. And so it was just me, John, and Spencer just kind of looking sad.
And then I'm on the phone with Jason, and Jason's like, yeah, I'm behind you. I see that you are now Fierce Deity Link. You look nothing like you did yesterday, but I love it. The sword is cool. And then I turn around, and there he is. And he's like, so what happened was, there is a cause called Music for Humanity. I don't give a shit what they do. Probably something good. They pissed me off.
Holy shit. We're gonna fucking pick a fight with a charity? Sure. God damn.
And what happened was last year, there was disorganization and one of the fandoms didn't show up. They got both a fandom table for the weekend and a daily market booth. The daily market booths are
also
set,
on the 6th level.
Also on the 6th level. And they're just better placed. Like, they're in the middle.
Yeah.
You can walk through them.
You're meant to
That's
wind
where all
around.
The cosplay, like, guests are. They're good. They're great.
It's great
location.
To get a, like,
but
one
you can
of those
only,
daily market booths.
But you can only have one. For the weekend, like, yes. You can only have it for one day, and they're several $100s.
Right. What Jason ended up telling us on that first day was just like, just take one of these tables for today. You should be able to get a fandom table tomorrow.
Like, I'll talk to the music guys and get them to break down their music table.
And so we then ended up just taking one of the daily market tables.
We got the table directly across from
Taryn, actually.
From Taryn Cosplays.
Yeah.
Which was insane. Because it was more insane watching his line.
Yeah. So this was the crazy thing. Through Jason, we're able to set up an interview with Taryn at some point. We didn't know an exact time because it was based on whenever Taryn was going to be at the convention, whenever Taryn was going to be at the booth. So we were just waiting for like an all clear, basically.
Yeah. But we get our booth set up. We get our booth set up. We have my sister bring some stuff from Staples. You and Spencer go out to Staples and get some stuff.
Yeah, we ended up printing out some QR code things. Scan it and they can find our Instagram.
I think the thing that we learned from that is instead of having Instagrams, we should have the Spotify links as well.
Oh,
like, we need to make a link tree for the network or ourselves and have it be like the podcast Instagram, your Instagram, my Instagram, the cosplays like Apple Music, the cosplays Spotify.
Yeah, because until we actually get better about posting on the main cosplay Instagram, it's kind of not conducive to having people follow it. Though we did get a lot of followers.
We did get a lot of followers, but we also had, we had all that. We then had a raffle that I somehow decided the math for, which is one ticket.
From the start, people were like, well, how much is it? And then on the spot, MJ was like, one ticket, $1.
Five for three.
Yeah.
And so we sold like 300 tickets. One dude bought 50.
Yeah, and he did win.
He did win one, which was good because it would have been insane if he didn't.
Yeah, but he was definitely the most, but there were people who bought 40 tickets, there were people who bought 30 tickets, and I was just
he gave me $21 to buy 35. That's what it was.
So it was great because, like, you know, people looked at it and they were like, we had like all of the stuff laid out. It was miscellaneous like Dragon Ball merchandise. Everybody really liked we had two sets of
the Dragon Balls. We had a beeping pillow that looked like the Dragon Radar, which was my favorite thing, because every time someone would come up, I'd be like, you can enter our raffle, you can win the Dragon Balls, you can win a pillow that beeps.
I think that if I was like a random con goer and I saw it, I would do it.
I'd give it five bucks.
I'd give it $5 just to like see, you know, right?
Yeah.
Or $6 because that's better odds. 10.
Yeah. Fuck it, why not?
But the reason I would do it is because I'd know that there are two sets of Dragon Balls. Because if there was only one, I'd be like, what are the odds? Beeps. You know? Well, I also like the Pill of the Beast, but I'm just like, the fact that there are two sets of Dragon Balls, I'd be like, other people will go for that. And if I win, there might still be another set of Dragon Balls.
Or a Pill of the Beeps.
I don't know. It's just, I found that...
The Pill of the Beeps was not the third thing that sold, was the thing that shocked me. It was not the third thing picked up.
When it comes to convention gambling, right, this was news to me that it was such a lucrative thing. And I understand why there are so many gotcha.
So we have a bunch of different friends that stop by. We have a bunch of new people that stop by where we get to tell them about the podcast. But Friday was kind of our chill day a little bit. Like, it wasn't for me because I was encumbered.
Yeah, you were encumbered, but you also... I think the big thing, I mostly just ran like interactions because John was a little bit sick on Friday.
John was a little sick on Friday and then incredibly sick on Saturday and then fine on Sunday.
Yeah, I gave John an illegal Z-Pack.
Allegedly.
Allegedly, I gave John an illegal Z-Pack that I didn't definitely get from another country.
I gave Kennedy a bunch of cold medicine and I was like...
And Kennedy was like, well, what is this thing? And I was like, oh, it's a Z-Pack. Kennedy's like, this was gonna work for you, John.
And John is like, what is it? And she's like, it is a thing that will murder your cold if you take it properly.
John's like, okay.
I'm gonna put John on blast for exactly 1 second here, which is John sleeps in jeans through the night. And I've never been more upset at an adult in my life. And I've met a lot of adults that upset me. I knocked on their door to, like, give them something right before bed one night. And I was like, here you go. And I was like, oh, John, do you need, like, sweatpants? Like, do you want to, like, did you forget to pack some? And he's like, no, I sleep in jeans. And I
had, like, out of my house.
Yeah, I had a visceral reaction to him saying that. And I was like, no.
No.
And he was like, yeah, I'm going to. And I'm like, I made noises that were unhappy. Anyway, back to the con. We're Friday. What else happened on Friday?
On Friday, I just kind of ran the booth, like I said. I was running interactions.
Met a lot of people. I got annoyed with how blind I was at one point.
I was like, MJ, just take them out. Take the contacts out. You're not being judged right now. Just take them out. And then you were like, okay. And you took them out and you're like, oh, shoot, this is where we are. And I was like, oh, my God.
No, I was looking at a cherry blossom print and I was like, oh, my God, it's gorgeous.
To clarify, we walked the con floor on Friday and I did not get to really go again. I don't think. Did I?
You did with my sister on Sunday.
I did. Okay. I did on Sunday and I picked up two prints. I walked the convention on Friday while unencumbered and MJ looked at me and MJ was like, is that cherry? I did take
out my contacts when we were initially walking the con floor downstairs. We dropped off my sword and my armor and then I was just walking.
There was definitely a point when you looked at me. And
we
you
came
said,
back
did I
up.
Like it? And I was like, MJ, take them out.
We came back up after getting food and doing the evening photos with Figgleston, which is why I had them back in.
Right. Oh, right.
Because we split the photo shoot to get some in the early morning and then some at dusk.
I definitely like the evening ones better. I'm just glad. I mean, that just meant it was a full day cosplay.
Yeah. It was very, and it's incredibly comfortable. Like, the cosplay itself is comfortable. I do have to fix the zipper a little bit on the bodysuit because it was a little too tight. I need to get a longer zipper and then I need to remake the armor. we need to make the sword shorter, because if you look on Instagram, the sword is about my height, and that's not great.
Yeah, no, it's crazy.
About 80% the size.
It'll be 75.
Friday ends, and I think we just come home and go to bed. Is that what we do on Friday?
Friday, we went out. I bought them chicken that MJ can't eat.
Yes.
Poison chicken.
Ryan bought them poison chicken, and I got
it's
something.
Fried in peanut oil. It's
poison. Yes, the poison chicken is not actually poisoned. I am... the way that the dogs are telling me about it years ago is I'm adverse to peanuts.
You're nut averse, yes.
I'm nut adverse, not nut allergic. Yeah. I won't go into anaphylactic shock, but I will vomit. And so to this day, the smell of peanut butter especially makes me incredibly nauseous.
There's like certain types of fake popcorn butter that use peanut oil.
And we ended up going to the movie theater and I threw up the rest of the night.
Yeah.
Because I ate a lot of popcorn.
Yeah.
Regardless, I'm going to shout them out because it's amazing chicken. Everyone loved it. It's called Bird Code. It's in West Hartford.
It's great. No, it's really good. There are a couple locations in Connecticut.
Yeah,
the area.
So they're amazing. You got me macaroni and cheese from there because that's the only thing I can eat on their menu. And it's delicious. All their food is phenomenal. I just can't eat it. But yeah. If you're ever in
that's
the Connecticut area, like especially around Hartford, check out Bird Code. They... also sell local soda, which is really cool of them.
Before we move to Saturday, did you want to talk about what the judging process looked like for you?
Hell yeah. So the judging process, my judging was at 3:30. I had Kennedy walk me down. I could see, so long as no one stood in front of direct sunlight. So we had some friends come up and visit. They are Cam Cosplays on Instagram. Cam was in a really great regal Sanji outfit, but if they stood in directly in front of the light from like the backlit windows, I could only see an outline of them. And Cam Cosplays is also Limoncello Clown's friend.
Oh, nice. Okay.
Yeah. I saw them at Weeb Night, and they were in a different Sanji.
Look, man.
They cosplay
it's
a lot of Sanjis.
The cosplay community is both simultaneously huge.
And microscopic.
Small, and so small.
So Kennedy walked me down. Again, limited sight. Kennedy made sure that... Kennedy also held a light for me. That was a UV light to show that the sword lit up in the UV light, which was really cool.
I thought it was neat. It
was a cool trick.
Unfortunately, when I ordered you those paints
we did not order enough.
One of them wasn't fluorescent paint. One of them was just like a dark, like, I think... green paint.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and the green was not fluorescent, so when we shined it on the green, it didn't shine. Shine on the blue did shine, and I'm
so
like,
we learned to order a shit ton more of the fluorescent paint.
Yeah, so it'll be cool. Yeah.
It'll be cool for that one. And so the judging process was this. I got taken into like this little corridor behind everything, and the three judges were there, and they had my build book in their hand, and they looked through my build book as I like handed it to them. And a build book is mostly photo process. And I think the thing I've learned is you have to have way more photos of the process because you have less than 5 minutes to speak.
Oh, wow. Okay. So I thought that we had enough photos.
No. Because like if you have you have to have like whole descriptive parts about like special techniques and stuff. And the breakdown process because you have exactly like 5 minutes. Max 5 minutes.
Did you use a lot of special techniques? I thought it was pretty...
I use flat foot hems. I use serging. I use hand sewing, stuff like that.
You can't just say like, oh, and then I put these pieces together. Like,
no.
I sewed these pieces. Okay. You got to be like, well, then this is how I... Okay. You got to be really efficient with your time.
Right? Yeah. And okay. I had to talk about how I... On the leggings, it's a Yahya Han pattern that I use for the bodysuit. But Yahya Han's patterns are kind of only ever made for Yahya Han size.
Whoa.
And like body type, and I have much thicker legs than she does, and so I had to add an extra panel in to like the entirety of the thigh and calf region, and I had to do that and all these other little things, and so I like didn't talk about armor at all, which probably was my own mistake.
Yeah,
because I was like, I just did this. Ah!
That's crazy. Yeah, no, it's hard though. It's hard to talk about because when we did the...
But you're also incredibly nervous.
Yeah, I want to say that I did encounter that when we... did the egghead boots way back.
Yeah, when you're talking about it.
I was talking about it. I was like, yeah, and then I did this and this. And then I was like, oh, I should probably say that I did this as well. It's like you never think in the moment. Like
you have to almost like run through and time yourself talking about it. And I think that's the other thing I've learned.
You gotta rehearse it.
You gotta, it's speech and debate. You gotta rehearse your 3 minute speech.
I didn't think about it at all. I just showed up there. I was like, I knew in my head exactly. It was like, if you have questions, then I can answer.
But they have no questions.
They
expect you to know.
They have a couple of like, oh, so then what is this? And I'm like, oh, this is a like a weird like polymer that I found online on like a shipping website of all things. I don't know if you believe it. So it's like you really do, I think, have to rehearse it. So that'll be a, if you guys are going to compete, make sure that you've rehearsed your little, it's like an elevator pitch.
Yeah. And have someone there that like has been with you or knows the cosplay. So that way they can be like, hey, you didn't talk about this thing.
Yeah, that's true.
Like I completely forgot to talk about the fact that I put lace on the cuffs of my bodysuit for the detailing of the silver bracers when I'm not wearing my bracers.
It's only, you have to be your best. You have to be your own advocate. And if you don't advocate, then they don't know that you did it.
Yeah, exactly. But Kennedy was great. Kennedy helped me down and up the stairs, and then we went back up, and then we went back into sales pitch mode, and then we had mac and cheese and chicken sandwiches for lunch.
That's become like a staple at Kineticon. You always get the, there's like a mac and cheese station, like a booth.
It's so good though.
I love their little mac and cheese.
They didn't have the packs of Kraft mac and cheese from last year though.
Oh,
very sad.
That was weird. I still to this day don't understand why they did that.
I wish we would have asked Jason about it.
Oh, damn it. You know, because he was there. You know he was there. He
worked there. God. He's been working there for like 14 years.
It's going to bother me forever.
Yeah, well, maybe
next Kineticon they'll bring back the, this is like an even year thing.
Yeah. Only okay, it's like years. It's like the Olympics. It's every 4 years or something.
Every 4 years, they're just going to come back with their little mac and cheese packs. I was like, no, I've got two already. Take another one. I'm not going to eat it. Take it.
But I did. We brought them home and I did eat them.
Oh, okay. But I did look at those guys and was like, I'm not going to eat them. What do you want from me?
There's no microwaves available, so it's just very strange.
Everybody was like, what is this? I don't know. Moving on.
But that was the end of Friday. And then Saturday started to a very slow start. Kennedy, John, and Spencer got there probably an hour before we did because I was Trafalgar Law. We did a Dressrosa group.
Yes, with Limoncello Clown and Mad Safkaz.
So Mad Safkaz was Sanji, Limoncello Clown was Zoro. I was Trafalgar Law with a borrowed wig and hat from Lav.
I borrowed the wig because I was Frankie on Saturday. That was strange.
Everyone kept asking you which Miku you were.
That was a crazy question. Now all Mikus are canon, so like I guess I was Franklin Miku. It's crazy. I had one of those like shitty little like white like Halloween beards.
Yeah.
Because that's exactly what he was wearing. It was the most uncomfortable thing I've ever
put on. Well, it was on top of your normal beard as well.
Well, yeah. And then, like, because the mouth hole was too small, like, I kept fucking, it kept going in my mouth. And I kept, the whole day, I was eating them little polyester.
I taped my chest and then used fabric tape to tape down the jacket to my chest. So that way, just the, like, center of my body was showing with Trafalgar's tattoo because he has that big long coat.
Yes, but
and I taped my chest as flat as it physically could. I wrapped it all the way around. I had Mads like help me stretch my titties to the side.
It's so funny.
And it was so uncomfortable so quickly the second we stepped outside.
I got it, yeah.
I was in a plastic bag and I was dying.
To clarify, looking at MJ, you would think that's pretty breathable. That's pretty easy to be in. You know?
No, it was a raincoat and it was a plastic raincoat. It was like fully synthetic. Like just, it felt like plastic when you grabbed it. I took it off and you could feel the sweat. Like it was just covered in water from me sweating. So we went outside for a photo shoot.
You must have been like, damn, you could have made that cloak in like an evening, like an hour maybe.
The problem was I just didn't want to.
No, I know, because everything was packed.
My sewing machine was packed.
These were fully like bought cosplays, so I got
well, the jeans weren't. I made the jeans myself, and I've worn them several times since, but Spencer helped me do the dots. Friday night, Spencer and I sat down at our living room couch, and we chatted as we took like different sized dots. And we each did a leg.
Yeah, because you did. You have like, what kind of paint was it?
It's just acrylic fabric paint.
Oh, okay.
And we just do.
Because you bought circular paintbrushes, and I've never seen that before.
Like sponge brushes.
Yeah, they're just like a circular.
But shout out to Mads for doing all of the tattoo. We would say that Ryan, Lav, and Limoncello all said that this is the most different I have ever looked in a cosplay. Because I did the facial hair, I did the beard, I looked...
Yeah, you actually did mask.
Like, I did full mask.
Yeah.
Normally, with Link, there's not really... He's kind of androgynous looking. Some of my other male characters, they're kind of androgynous looking.
You also put on, like, some kind of foundation or something.
Oh, I did like severe contouring to make, like, full cheekbone dents.
You look like Law. Law looks kind of sick.
Oh, I used one of my older foundations from over the winter, so it was a little bit paler, and I drug it all the way down to my neck.
Yeah, and I was like,
because my chest hasn't been out in the sun since Bon Air.
And so I was like, oh no.
I looked sick, and I even did under eye bags.
Yes,
that's the other reason. So I put on foundation, and then I put on under eye bags. And those photos are already are also semi-posted. I'm going to post some more, because we ran into one of our favorite buddies, Metamorph Magic, and they are a photographer. And so she took a bunch of pictures of me right to the side of the booth, because that was the day that I was probably at the booth the most.
Yes, because, like, again, John was, like,
John was sick. John went home. My sister took John home.
I felt bad. John should have just stayed home.
John looked kind of evil. He was mean mugging a lot of people at the booth.
Because he put a mask on for Saturday because the man was very clearly ill.
Mm-hmm.
And the entire time I was like, dude, the optics of this is like, hi, we run a podcast like this and that. That's Spencer and then me. And I'm like, oh, we run a cosplay podcast. And then John is just in the corner looking at people and like
and mask Kennedy's on. And Kennedy's like trying to get him to drink water.
And then I'm like, oh my God, no, John. Like, I don't think it happened, but I would not blame somebody if they looked at our booth and were like, I don't know, that guy's scaring me. it's okay. I thought it was an interesting Saturday. I gotta admit though, it's very well documented for me to hate Saturdays because they're usually the busiest day. Mm-hmm. This Saturday, because we were tethered to the booth, it was not very busy. Like, you know, I just got to, you know, talk to a bunch of people. We did more raffle sales, like, you know, spread the good word of our cosplay.
I do want to shout out one quick thing, which is there was a One Piece group. It was hosted by the Polar Tang.
The Polar Tang. Yes.
The Polar Tang. Yeah, the Polar Tang. And they were great. It was a wonderful, wonderful cosplay meetup. I got some photos with all my dead dads punching a Doflamingo flamingo. It was a little stuffed flamingo that they put the stupid sunglasses on. I had a Beppo. It was great. It was a wonderful, like, they were so sweet, so kind. They stopped at the booth. They talked to me for a while.
It was a well-run meetup.
It was a really great run meetup. Yeah. They were awesome.
Like, we ended up moving it from where we originally were because
it was too loud. There was a musical festival and a...
And we moved to, like, an area with, like, a little park. And so then I got to meet with some fellow Franklins. Because I was Dressrosa Frankie. This is the first time that I've ever been, like, in, like, a... I don't know what you call it, I guess. Like, my legs were just out. Like, my legs were just fully out.
Oh, you had to wear leggings.
Yeah, I wore leggings, and I was like...
Because I was not... What's my number one rule about if you're going to wear a Speedo or a bodysuit?
You can't see it.
Can't see it. Family friendly, y'all. Keep it in.
I did. It was deleted. And so I then put the leggings on, and, like, they did not match my skin color at all. But it's okay. They were... between, like... getting to me in time, right? And just like a completely like light, super light skin color. And I was like, it's just not gonna work. But I put it on, and I thought I was gonna feel way more uncomfortable in it, but it was just like, ah, dude, whatever, man, you know.
I do wanna shout out the person that was one of the people that ran the meetup. They were the Going Merry in the evening, and they were Corazon in the day. Their name is Misty Rose Cosplays on Instagram. They are super awesome. Give them a shout out. They are so cool. They were the Sunny in the evening, and they were Corazon in the morning. And they
people
ran
who do up. Yeah, people who do multiple cosplays in a day are like built different.
They're built different, and I'm like kind of impressed by them.
Look, we've only ever done it at Katsu because we had like a Gaylord room, and it was like I think it was doable. Like it's doable. When you're at the hotel at the convention. But I'm trying to imagine, like, if you're not. Because Kineticon doesn't have, like, a designated hotel. Right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm just imagining going back to your hotel room, changing, coming back. Dude.
The other person that ran it was...
I'm not coming back.
The other person that ran it was the King's Courtroom on Instagram.
Nice.
Anyway. Yes, no, it was a great meetup. And honestly, impressed with anyone that can do multiple. I've watched Limoncello Clown do multiple in a day, and I'm like, you're too old to be doing that shit. They're 32.
What is that?
They say it. They actively are like, I'm too old to be doing this, as they're putting on a different wig.
Oh, man.
So, that's all of Saturday. I'm sorry for bullying Limoncello, but they deserved it.
Oh, there was one more thing that you got to do on Saturday. You got to... Actually, I was there, too. I don't know why I deleted myself there. But... we got to meet up with somebody who was in, like, a fantastic Eggman.
Yes.
And I was like doing my standard pitch for the cosplay podcast.
And in the middle of it.
And as I'm doing the pitch, I'm like, yeah. And so, like, you know, it's, and my wife and I, like, we do a cosplay podcast. We talk about the conventions we go to. You know, we have like some rules of conduct and whatever. And then he's like, oh, no, I know about that. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And I'm like, what?
Turns out he's been listening to us for like a year. His name is on Instagram, ZimmermanJoe21. His name is Joe Zimmerman. He's actually was one of the judges for the cabaret show. He did a phenomenal Eggman. He did an even better Squirrel Girl. I love the Squirrel Girl comics. My God, yeah, she's awesome. She is the invincible Squirrel Girl. He's so cool. He's so sweet. But more than anything, I'm going to put him on blast because he looked at me at one point and texted me, yeah, I used a Tupperware container as a pocket because I didn't know how to sew.
That's...
And I've never had a more visceral reaction than that moment.
Oh, man. I was so upset. Hey, that's still one more bucket that I used to have in Shanks. What can I say?
Hey, what do you have in Shanks now, motherfucker? What do you have in Shanks now?
Now we got pockets, no doubt, yeah.
No, shut the fuck up.
Thank you, listeners. Still pretty good. Tupperware? That's fantastic. So, like, did, like...
No, Tupperware... it didn't fit his phone or anything. He was like, it was the wrong size.
It did not fit his phone?
No. So it was worthless and uncomfortable.
He could probably put some, like, rat change in there.
No, Zimmerman is awesome. He is super sweet. So shout out to him for being a fan of the podcast and just knowing who we are. He was so cool. And it was very strange because he was like, no, I just listen. I just listen already. And I was like, no, you don't. You're one of the judges.
Do the little chopper reaction. What? No! I did, stop. You're flattering me. No.
I did do a wiggly little dance, I think, if I remember correctly. I was like, what? No.
Then how was so then we got back pretty late on Saturday.
But then, and then what we happened? Had, and then this is where okay, so things the intersection happened.
With the you've heard potentially John's side of the story.
So apparently, I could have sworn I mentioned it. I think I did in one of the group texts. I genuinely think I did. And
there were many.
No one read all of them. So I'm going to hang everyone out to dry on the fact that, like, no one read all of them to the point where John had needed my number for something after the con, and he was like, can you just send it to me real fast? And this is in the group. And I'm like, yeah, no problem. It is if you scroll up in this chat, though.
I will say that, and I also did tell them, they should have known on, like, Saturday, because I had told them, like, on
the No, they first found day. Out on Saturday. That was the okay. thing.
I told them, I was like, hey, yeah, just letting you know that we're going to have, like, a bunch of people over here, because...
And I mentioned it on Thursday in the drive.
Yeah, I figured, and I think I told Spencer as well. I was like, yeah, so the plan for Saturday evening is going to be this.
So we have an evening party.
I'm not going to take it out on them.
It was a goodbye to our house. It was kind of like a farewell to the going merry kind of situation.
Yeah, we got to have a bunch of the people who
A lot of cosplay friends came over. We got a local pizza chain. One of my friends from my program came over. Old school Mochipi came over, who recently told me at Oda that they don't pronounce it like that.
It's not Mochipi.
Is
it Mochipi?
Yeah.
Oh, because it's mocha.
Yeah.
Like coffee?
Yeah, mocha pie.
Mocha pie. Well, there's apparently no I should at the pronounce. End.
No, there's an I at the end.
Mochipi.
Mocha pie. Like pie.
Pie, like the 3.14.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we
But
then...
she showed up, my sister showed up. John Spencer Kennedy went to Italian food at Bertucci's.
Which is
the
crazy.
Name of the chain is Bertucci's. John, that's
what did
it.
Say? What did he say?
He couldn't remember it.
Oh, it's a really like common chain up there. It's
yeah, there's like seven of them within like spitting distance of our house.
I told them to go like get experimental, and I was like, yeah, go to this place. Yeah, go to this place. Or I was like, you can even go to like Maggie McFly's because they're like they have a little bit of everything. And John was, and I just like how they drove up the street. They found an Italian place. They're like, this is it. And I'm like, bro. Like,
well, okay. My sister had recommended it.
Oh. Yes, Alexa is a big Bertucci fan. If there are no Bertucci fans, Alexa has perished.
If there's no Bertucci fan left, then my father and sister have perished. Because my dad also loves Bertucci's.
It's good. Look, it is definitely
You and my sister ran the, like, spammed the lizard button with their, like, $2 Tuesday bullshit.
Look, if you guys are in the New England area.
On a Tuesday.
On a Tuesday. I feel like you'd be... All right, if you're in New England on a Tuesday... passing through, I guess. Do not forget that Bertucci's has a thing called Two for Tuesday, where you can order two pizzas. You can
two large.
Two, like, large pizzas You would think that it's like a BOGO thing, because that's what Two for Tuesdays means. But for now, for now, they have not caught on to the fact that when you put in two pizzas and load them up with whatever you want on them, they always charge you $26.91. I don't know why. But like the total on Bertucci's website, because it's like, you know, it's like it's a local restaurant and like it's like, you know, full fledged like pizza bakery, whatever. It shows me like my two fully loaded pizzas are like almost $70, and then I put in the coupon and it's $26.91. And then you get bread, and you get a half dozen breads with them two pizzas.
The amount of times I came home from work to my husband and
in
sister
in New England on a Tuesday.
To my husband and sister, sitting on my couch, watching, what is it, Zoo Ranker?
Oh, this was when we used to watch Tier Zoo.
Eating
Zoo Ranker is, it's definitely pizza. Correct.
Eating pizza and just, like, chowing down as I come home. And they're just like, oh, hey, do you want pizza? And it's always, like, the same six toppings.
Well, Alexa came up with a brilliant pizza topic. I'm going to say this and then we'll move on. But Alexa's pizza is so good. I'm sad that MJ doesn't eat olives, but they're perfect on this pizza.
Are you an olive lover? Because me and Spencer, I found out while like we were talking about this, is also an olive hater, which is the correct opinion. They're slimy and gross. Someone needs to be on my sister's side, because that bitch eats so many damn straight olives. It's
apparently
insane.
According to Alexa, this is one of her like top five things.
It like, is. One of the top That's what everyone says. Ambie like, Lynn said that.
I think that, well, I mean, yeah, but like, I've known Alexa for a while, and I don't think that's
Julian
one of the
Laney,
top five things.
Julian Laney, Love, all of our friends agree. Mochipi?
I don't know.
Everyone's on the side of Olive equal Alexa.
There's plenty of other things about Alexa. Olives is like top 10, maybe. All right, anyways, my point is, you get olives, pepperoni, and roasted garlic. And it's so, well, you're going to fucking stink after that. Your breath's going to stink. But it does not matter. It is a perfect pizza. Roasted garlic on pizza. I did not introduce this as an idea until Alexa. Fantastic. Anyways, we have our party.
We have a great party. It starts at like 8:30.
Yeah.
8 o'clock. No, it starts at 8 o'clock.
Everyone's there. I didn't go on a quest for ping pong balls so that
you
we could
play
pong.
You did because beer pong is a requirement at my house, apparently.
Dude, I know
that shush. You weren't there for the first 40 minutes. Leave me alone. So everyone shows up, and I'm like, you know what? Pizza's going to be here soon. It's already dark out. Let's have a bonfire. Because we normally end the night with a fire at the fire pit. And I was like, no, we're going to start here. So we started there. We had everyone over. Mochipi was telling us the breakdown of Labubu.
Oh, yeah.
And why they're famous. We talked about someone's trauma. We talked about the military industrial complex. We talked about the best dogs and the worst dog breeds.
Crazy transition.
We talked about all kinds of things. And then you eventually inevitably showed up.
Yes, I went to the local grocery store to get ping pong balls because I knew that they had them. And then I get there and like there's just like a fire department outside. Apparently there was like a some kind of fire hazard, whatever thing happened. And I'm like, oh no. So I went to like the local CVS and then I was like, I'll find some here. No. Went to the Walgreens. No. Went to the gas station. No. And by the time that I went back to that same grocery store that I started at, they were gone. So I was like, all right, that's it. We're in. So then I bought the balls, went back home, and then I
set it up for the first time ever in the garage.
Yes, in the garage. And I think that was better.
Yeah, it was much better.
It was much better. And
you and Lemoncello played on one team together
against me and
one of my college friends in the best game of beer pong ever, which is Vietnam.
Yes, we did. And
we had a time clock on it this time because
yes, but
they were losing.
In 15 minutes.
We sunk seven.
So we got 70% of the balls in a game that is designed for us to lose. So
how many,
I think
you drank way more than seven drinks though. So I think we were still winning.
I drank actually so much that evening that I started to get worse at it. and that's a new experience for me because
and
there's usually like a peak that I have.
Me and Space played with you and someone else. I forget who.
I think it was...
Was it your twin?
It was Kennedy. It wasn't
my twin. Because me and Spencer played against you and Kennedy.
Ooh, then I don't know.
I think it was Lav.
Was it Lav?
Yeah.
That doesn't feel right, but okay.
Was that or Julian?
No, it wasn't Julian. I've never played... The thing is funny that for as long as, like, you know, we've had these things, I've never been on Julian's team.
No, you've only ever played against him.
I've only ever played against Julian. And I've always, at all of these functions, always played with Limoncello Clown. And we've gotten into a rhythm, the two of us, where we're just like, we've gotten so good at shit talking that we hype ourselves up and we get better. Something is gained.
Unless.
What do you mean unless?
Unless you play against me.
No, that's the thing though, MJ.
You've yet to win against me.
Because we play Vietnam, which is
I beat you in the two traditional ones too!
Hold on. You beat me in the two traditional ones because I didn't have my actual designated beer pong partner. Here's the other funny thing. Like, I just...
Because you and Mads. You and Mads played against me in space.
That's right. We did. And I was like, I'll try. And I did better with Mads. But then, I drank way too much and I started getting worse. By the time that I played against you with Kennedy, I was gone.
Yeah, because what ended up happening is when you...
All of the skill in me left.
By the time we ended up wrapping up against with me and Space and you and Mads, John Spencer and Kennedy finally came back. It is now like 11:30 at night. They're finally back from the Italian place. I didn't know it stayed open that late.
Yeah, that's news to me, actually.
So, they're back. Or it might have been 10. It might have been 10. They were gone for at least an hour and a half.
Yeah, at this point, most people have migrated inside. I now have lost my best beer pong partner known to man, and I'm now degrading, and we're like, all right, party winding down.
And then we go to go inside, and Spencer looks at me and he goes, I've never played beer pong before. And I was like, what? You have to. And he's like, yeah, that'd be fun.
And I'm like, I'm on the verge of just like, do this anymore. And then MJ's like, come on, play against us. And then we did. And then I lost brutally. But like, you know what?
Kennedy carried that team.
I can't do it, MJ. I need you to stop bullying me. And you know what's funny is that we talk about Julian. I've never been on a team with Julian. MJ, I think you and I have played on a team together once.
Yeah, so like, what is it? Party.
What does it say that you don't play with me at this
you're
game?
You're so antagonistic.
I'm not antagonistic to you.
Yeah,
I'm
you
antagonistic
are.
To the other people.
But it's always me that you're antagonistic to.
Because I'm playing against you! You can choose to be on my team. Join me, MJ, in the depths of frat hell.
I don't want to.
See,
I'm on the light side.
No.
I play with you on a team. I keep asking you to play with me on Vietnam. And you're like, no, I refuse. I will only ever be America.
I have to be America in the game of Vietnam because there is no other way. I only win when I'm the underdog, man. That's how it works.
America is not the underdog in Vietnam.
The real one, though. But in the game, yes. There's no way to win. All right. Anyways, we played. I brutally lost. We then went inside. We played Jackbox.
No, we didn't. We played King's Cup first.
Oh, shit.
And my good buddy, who I was a bridesmaid in her wedding, who I love dearly so much and is so cute, Lainey, had to drink the King's Cup, but we had all of our...
It was fine, though. That was
the
fine.
The only thing that I was frustrated about is I was very drunk to the point where I got hyper, which is a thing that eventually happens, and then I immediately go to bed. I get hyper and then go to bed. That is my methodology when I get drunk. It's either that or I end up throwing up. One of those two things.
Nice,
either
throw up.
I didn't throw up this time, which is an improvement from the last time I partied the limoncello.
Hey, man. You figured out your limit, and you kind of just go with that.
I did. I finally did it. I'm almost 27, and I finally figured out what my drinking limit is.
Yay.
It's not like I've been drinking for a decade or anything.
Hey, wait a minute.
Internationally. But what's happening is we don't have a deck of cards because they've all been packed up. And so the only deck of cards is one that I downloaded onto my phone.
That was pathetic.
And so I was...
I gotta be honest, that was pathetic.
We would hit the card button, and then I would shout out what would happen. And, oh my god, the fucking daisy chain. So, okay, we have friends that are non-binary. It's a very common thing in our circle. So we ended up coming up with the rule of, if you remember, it's...
chicks.
Five is chicks.
Six is guys.
Is dicks.
It was supposed to be, traditional version.
It's guys,
chicks,
but
and
it's
dicks.
It's chicks, yeah. And dicks. And so the rule we came up with is they's have to drink on both. They's have to drink on both.
Like, damn, you know, if it wasn't the they's making this rule, this would be kind of a hate crime. But hey, you know, whatever, they made
the rule. All the they's agreed. We made a little council, we all agreed, and it was fine. I mean,
I ended up drinking.
But then the problem was that there's a different one that's buddy.
It's mate. Eight mate.
Eight is mate. And so you point at someone and you go, when I drink, you drink. That meant that there was like a daisy chain of like six people.
Yeah, and remember,
I had to drink constantly.
I'm no they, but I got partnered with they.
And you chose to partner with they, and then Julian chose to partner with you.
Oh yes, that's right. Because I didn't think that it was going to happen that much, and then it did.
And then you forgot that there are 8 cards.
And I'm like, Mamma Mia, this was
the king was the last card in the deck.
You serious?
Yeah.
Wow, we played it as long as we could have then.
Yes.
Huh? They knew what we were doing.
That app knew.
Yeah, we got the first two, like, we got the first one really quick, and then the next, like, two came way later.
And then the last card and last was the
one
last king.
The last one, yeah.
And it was gross sludge. There was, like, wine and vodka and tequila, and then also, like, though. A Jack.
It was gluten-free, though.
It was gluten-free. We had one friend who had celiac.
Who I have now confirmation that we can say their name. We can say both of their names.
Yes?
Yeah.
Okay, cool, great. So Connor and Erica were there.
Yeah.
And Connor has severe celiacs, and so we had to make sure there was no... I don't think there was beer at all at the party.
There wasn't, I don't think so. It was mostly like...
It was mostly mixed drinks.
We had cut water, we had some pre-mixed Jack and Cokes.
Yeah, that Spencer brought, that he was... And then he also brought box wine.
He also brought box wine, and the box wine, I love it.
I love it, oh, it's so good.
I like the box wine.
And then we all went to bed, and then we all woke up on Sunday.
I did my traditional prevent hangover stance of sitting... Like, in the bathroom, and then, like, slowly
I need you to know that Ryan stayed up until 2:30 in the morning, almost 3 o'clock.
Yeah, I was talking... I went to bed
at, like, a little bit before 1, and then hours later I woke up to pee, and Ryan was still downstairs talking with our friends.
It was certainly... Yeah.
Because one of our friends had to sober up before they drove home.
Yeah, and so I was staying up with them, let them sober up. It was also, you know, it's still also a goodbye party, so it got a little more somber. But, like, the somberness definitely got cut by the fact that we were trying to set up Jackbox, and it took me an hour and a half, and I still couldn't do it in the end, I think.
Our Switch was packed up.
And I'm like, this fucking sucks.
And so we couldn't get a transfer.
I had it on the Switch, I think Julian's Switch, and then, or not Julian's Switch. No, it was my sister's.
Yeah. No, it was just her, like,
it was her stand.
Her adapter, yeah.
It was her stand and then Julian's Switch, and then I get to the end of setting up the account, and then it's like, all right, take the Switch that has the game and move it close to, I'm like, I can't do that!
We don't know what box it is!
In a box! I'm gonna lose it, man. And I almost lost it. But anyways, I then sit under the sink and I drink some water. Because it's the only way that I can gauge how much water juice. I need to drink. Huh?
Pickle juice.
You're supposed to drink that before you go to bed?
Yeah.
Have you done that?
Yeah.
When?
The last few times that I haven't thrown up, I just eat like 2 big pickles.
Is that what the pickles are for?
No, I just like pickles.
Oh, okay. All right. Because you always get the spears.
I love spears. That's because I just like nomming on them. Do you not just nom on a pickle?
Yeah, I know, but I always feel like there aren't enough spears in the spear container. I kind of like the big ones. I like those big, the big jug. I hate just the big ones.
No,
the
I
big
jugs.
No. To clarify, the big jug.
I just didn't know if you would eat them.
No, I would.
No, you would?
I would. I like the kosher ones.
I'll buy
ones.
The bigger ones.
I like because they're crunchier. I don't, the Vlasic and, like, the regular, like, brand pickles, like the long shelf life pickles, I don't really care for.
If I could grow cucumbers, which I suck at, if I could grow cukes, I'd make my own pickles.
I'll have you
know. I got taught how to pickle.
I learned a new thing.
Poor family.
I learned a new
rural
thing.
Rural America.
If you take, like, you know, I don't know if you've ever had this, when you eat a cucumber,
mm-hmm.
Have you ever, like, gotten super gassy afterwards?
No. I don't eat cucumbers.
Oh. Well, if you eat enough cucumber, you get kind of gassy afterwards.
If you eat enough potato, you get gassy.
That's me, though. That's
if you eat people. Most things, you get gassy.
Mamma mia, look at this. Anyways, what I'm saying, though, is if you take a cucumber and you cut it long ways,
mm-hmm.
and then you scoop out, like, the middle seed bit,
yeah.
it goes away.
Oh, interesting.
So, yeah, that's apparently
for all our listeners at home, eat pickles.
Yeah, that's a new trick.
That's a great trick. Okay, so we go to bed. And then Sunday's kind of somber, because...
It's a quicker day.
It's a quicker day, so the content's at 3.
We did this time with a group with Erica and Connor. We did Owl House.
Yeah. Erica was Lilith. Connor was Steve.
Steve.
I was Depressed Hunter.
Yes, it was very funny.
I did like the big scar makeup and everything. And you were the dad.
I was the dad. Yeah, I did Alador.
Alador. And it was very fun. We were all very cute. They were very comfortable. I was just in like a jumpsuit and a wolf t-shirt. And that
was
fun.
I was in a lab coat. So
you were in a lab coat.
Just warm.
Connor was in a Steve shirt. Erica was in a vest that she crocheted herself.
It was beautiful. Erica did a great job.
She did a great job. We met. That's the day that I met with voice actors. I met with Jonah Scott and Damon Mills, got them to sign some Joe and Cherry print that I picked up when I was blind.
Yeah, you at that time, you met with Damon Mills. You didn't know that you were going to get to then later interview Damon.
So this is the surprise twist. So for those of you that don't know, Damon Mills is Frieza. He took over and super officially. And so Damon Mills has been Frieza for the last about 6 years. And he was one of the people that we got to interview. But it was supposed to be John and Spencer, but John was so sick.
Seeing as they have a Dragon Ball podcast.
But John was so sick that he looked at me and went, MJ, you're a much better presence than I am right now. You go do it. And I went, John, this is your podcast. I don't know if I should do that. And John went, MJ, I'm begging you, please fill in for me.
And then MJ was like, damn, say no more.
So he started, the problem is that he started this bit on Friday. And he was like, MJ could do it. And I was like, no, John, this is your thing. And John was like, yeah, okay. And then by Saturday afternoon, he was like, no, MJ's doing it. I'm not doing it. And I'm like, what? And was this decided?
I did get to talk to John about it more. And it's definitely this feeling of like it's hard, I guess, sometimes to get into like an interview mindset. Because, you know, like you'll always feel like John and I have this feeling. It's like, oh, did we prep enough?
Mm-hmm.
Do we ask the right questions? And if you're able to like just enter that interview headspace more easily, I think like you and Spencer can.
Yeah. And talking with Spencer about it, it's very much like, will you do a thing that I'm so interested in? I have 1,000 questions that I can just easily ask you.
Yeah, exactly. And it's like, is that enough? Because I'm sure there are also so many other people who would maybe be able to ask even better questions. And that's always what I think about. And I know I talked to John about it and John was like, it's basically the same. So,
you and John share a lot of anxieties because he's also terrified of planes.
Oh, really? I talked to him. He says that his plane anxiety is a little bit different, though. Mm-hmm. I'm scared of the plane, like...
crashing.
Pretty much most of the time in the air. Mm-hmm. But John is scared of just, like... It's almost like everything up to the takeoff. Once the plane takes off, John says that he's, like, better. So he takes his anxiety meds before I would.
Yeah. So...
I think he gets to the airport and he pops it.
So, yes. Spencer and I get to interview Damon Mills at the end of the day, like, while they're breaking down the con. And we will kind of dual cast that. The interview will kind of be split in two between our network and their network. Because there's some parts that are more Dragon Ball, there are some parts that are more con and cosplaying. But he was so sweet and so kind and so accommodating.
It was a long interview.
It was about 45 minutes. Yeah. And what basically ended up happening is... I looked at, because this I think is a shout out to like how both flexible he was and how like the con set things up. Because the way the interviews were supposed to go is like we got told by Jason like, hey, we might be able to give you a time, but also just ask them because they know you're coming.
Yeah.
And so when I was in line with Erica, I was like, hey, like I work with this podcast network. I'm a huge fan of yours, but like we're kind of supposed to be doing an interview with you later today. And he went, okay, interesting. Let me figure out what my schedule is. I have like a panel to go to in a bit. And come back. And it was probably, Klon closed at 3, it was probably 2:40, 2:30.
Yeah, you guys just
and
like popped back.
You just
like,
looked at me and went, do you want to give it another try? And I'm like, you know what, screw it, we're going to go give it another try. And so I grabbed Spencer, we marched downstairs, I stood idly and politely off to the side of the table. I looked at his handler because all the voice actors and everything have handlers. And I was like, hi, we're with like the press. We were told by Jason, the head of like... publications, that we could interview him. Can you ask him if he'd be okay with that? And she went, yeah, give me a minute, I'll let you talk to him, just let him finish out the line. I had 3 people, they finished out the line. He went up and he went, hi, you're back again. And I went, hi, I'm back again, do you mind, we were one of the publications that sent you questions, can we do an interview with you? And he went, sure, yeah. So in the middle of the interview, like the announcement of everyone get the hell out like went off.
Yeah, because again...
And then we waited, and then we continued interviewing him for like another 20 minutes.
MJ, like, we at this point had to pack up and leave, and we were like, we thought that they were going to come back here. But we couldn't get a hold of them because they were literally mid-interview, and I was like, I'm just going to assume that they're still doing it. Or maybe they had to wait until the last person got there. I don't know, but now everybody's been kicked out, so if we don't see them outside, then that means that it worked out. And so then John, Kennedy, and I then picked up all our stuff. We like... oh, and Alexa as well, right?
Yeah, Sissy was there.
Yeah, okay.
She and was Alexa, there for the entirety of the last day. She brought us chicken.
Right, and Alexa and... Oh, yeah, and then Erica and Connor. We all picked up all our stuff, and then we moved it outside. And so then we were waiting outside. Eventually, you, like, run outside at this point, like, 20 minutes after the convention has now ended.
Yeah, it's, like, it's almost 4 o'clock.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's super crazy late. MJ jumps up and does a little kick flip. Or, like, a little kick tap. Right? And I'm like, no fucking way. And so it was just a great success. And we're going to cut it up so that we get like different content.
But we are going to talk about the one other thing that happened on Sunday that was more frustrating and less fun, which is Sunday was the culmination of, so every day, we kind of skipped over it on Saturday. A big thing that happened on Saturday was the fandom table didn't move.
No, they kept their table
and they kind of argued with Kennedy about it.
And we were like, no, we got clearance for this though.
And so we ended up being able to take back the same table we were at the day before, which was like right across from Taryn.
We at that point we'd lost like an hour and a half, maybe 2 hours.
On Saturday, they had lost about half an hour. Sunday is when they lost a lot of time.
Sunday, we lost a lot of time because the con opens the same time on Sunday.
And it opens at 10.
But by the time that we were able to get a table, I want to say it was like
11:30.
It was near noon, yeah.
Yeah. Because it wasn't until after I got back with my signatures from Jonah Scott that we were able to find a table. Mm-hmm. So I got there at about 10:30 and I waited in line. I got signatures from Jonah Scott. He's a sweetheart. He's awesome. Go Joe. Erica is now watching Skate the Infinity, so that's phenomenal. I got another one on my side.
It's a good show. I'm not going to say it's a bad show. I just hate Recky.
I thought you hated Mia.
Well, no. My hatred for Mia is well known and documented. But as a main character, I think it frustrates me that I hate Recky.
I think you just hate that he's like you and his anxieties and inadequacies. Feelings of inadequacy.
Yeah, I guess, man. But, like, I mean...
I think you just see too much of him and you don't like him.
Yeah, but he spent half the show not hanging out with his boyfriend.
He did not. Because episode 6 is the beach episode where they're all over each other.
Yeah, but then he spent the second half of the show. It was 12 episodes, right?
Yeah, and he didn't break up... until the mid part of episode 8. I don't care, bro.
I liked when they were the two of them hanging out. Now that I got to watch like an episode or two with Eric and Connor again, I'm like, no, they have a great rapport. And they spent like the end climax part of the show being apart. And I'm like, it's dumb, bro. It's dumb.
Jared was in the hospital.
Yeah, that's fine. And then they both saw him separately. That's dumb. We're not going to talk about Skate.
Because he saw him in the elevator and ran.
I don't care, bro. Moving on.
I care so much.
Oh my God.
But anyway, so we were able to reclaim that table that we had on Friday on Saturday, which did, like, it kills time having to break down and put things back up.
Yes.
Because we had to be out in time.
Yeah.
And so that meant that, like, we had to spend time breaking down. And that was frustrating. And then Sunday was around. And you're running really late because you have to go to Marshall's and get shoes.
No, dude, that was bad. Packed my fucking shoes! Everything in my life was in a goddamn box, dude.
So anyway, my stuff... So bad. I was on time. Like, I arrived shortly after John Spencer did. I just got in line for a voice actor, and so I wasn't up with them. And what we find out, because I'm texting Kennedy, is... Like, the booth that we had been using is, like, occupied now. All the fandom tables are still taken. And Kennedy goes up to someone that clearly works for the con. Because there were two sets. There was security provided by the convention center. And then there were staff members for the con. And they were not the same. But they looked kind of similar. One more green, one more, like, a dark blue polo shirt. And both said staff on the back. And it was very frustrating. So Kennedy goes up to someone and is like, hey, we're supposed to have this table. Jason promised us this table. It's been a mess all weekend. We've wasted so much time breaking stuff down and putting it back up. Like, there's disorganization. We're frustrated and we just want to know what's going on. And this woman is apologetic. And by the time I get up there, they're still just kind of sitting awkwardly in a corner. And I look at them and I go, that's an empty table. We're just going to take it. We're just going to take it. Because the problem is a lot of the empty non-used tables had been broken down and, like, hidden.
Yeah.
And they were, like, tempted to just pull one back out and open it back up.
Yeah.
And they got told by this woman that they would be kicked out of the con.
You could get kicked out of the con. You can get blacklisted kind of thing. And it's like, oh, cool. We don't want that, obviously. So we waited around. Eventually, we just took whatever was open. And it was another daily market table. So to now sum up, we at no point had a table we were supposed to. But... like, you know,
we got upgraded table, but we had to deal with a lot more. We had to deal with all of the
and I told John this, like, it did impact morale.
Yeah.
Right? It definitely
hurt. And also delayed start, and that was very frustrating.
Yeah, delayed start was bad. And here's the other thing, you know, like, we didn't really sell many raffle tickets on Sunday at all.
No, we were just doing, like, the call out.
But that's the thing, right? We needed Sunday to work out because we needed to call the people,
mm-hmm.
And get them their, like, whatever their prizes.
And luckily
were.
They did. Everyone came.
Everyone came.
Picked
yeah,
it up.
Got, yeah.
John and Spencer got photos with everyone that won a prize. Got to talk to a couple yeah. people. The androids won. That was a really cool one. There were two people cosplaying as Android 18 and 17, and they won the prizes. Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
I think they either won the Dragon Radar.
This is probably when I was down south with your sister. We were checking out
the... Yes, you went and bought a print.
We got a couple prints and stuff.
But... So that was... I think that's the biggest thing of... That, like, we've had the curtain pulled back for us is... The logistics side of con sometimes is very confusing.
I feel like there's a bureaucracy that we got to skip a lot of because we had, like, a working relationship with Jason.
Mm-hmm.
And that definitely helped with a lot of stuff. And, like, you know, what happened with the booths may or may not have been an admin thing. If anything, it might have just been, like, I don't know, bad actors that just had more booth space than they needed. And, like, you know, poor communication. Oh, this must be the same as last year. It wasn't. And, you know, people just taking things for themselves and not, like, you know, asking for permission.
And I think there's also a thing of it's, like, there are so many different fires going on Con yeah. Weekend. Like, we got to see Jason, like, literally deal with one while we were, like, trying to set up our interview.
Yeah.
Like, he got pulled away off to the side to talk about something else and then put back.
Yeah. I want to say that this is... I don't envy their job.
It's, no,
it's a
I
hard,
don't.
It's a hard-ass job. And I think that maybe the solution to something like this in the future is... I think that this is what often happens with, like, those daily market booths, the fandom tables... You get there the second the con opens.
Yeah.
And there's no question in my mind that that is the right way to do it.
I think
because
if we...
Because we cosplay, we had to, you know, like, get ready in the morning. And we woke up at, like, an early time, but, like, a reasonable time. And that set us back. And
yeah.
so
I think
the
other thing
I
is...
definitely changed that.
As press, we had access Thursday. And yeah. we should have dropped our stuff off Thursday after evening.
We didn't know, you know. This yeah. was the first time that we ever had this kind of...
And I think that is the other big thing. The communication on our side, like, just between the network could have been a bit better.
Oh, for sure.
I got a little... Like, John and Spencer own up to it, and I appreciate that, but I got kind of thrown to the woods by... To the wolves by accident.
Like, you know convention? I was like, yeah, we know convention. Not this part. No, brother,
and
no.
so I got a lot of... I had a lot of moving cogs that I had to, like, fiddle with, but they were all hand crank for some ungodly reason.
Yeah,
and I think I did my best. I think I did fine. It was a learning curve. But I think the big thing is, dear, would you ever want to do a booth again?
I would want to do a booth again. I think it's just, like, one of those things where it's like, I liked doing the booth with our network because it allowed us a freedom to be able to, like, oh, you man the booth for a while. Okay, I'll man the booth for a while. And, like, a trade-off system.
Yeah.
But it couldn't be just you and me running a booth because what would we do?
We wouldn't solo, be able to con.
Solo walk the con.
I think the big thing that I learned is... If we're going to do a booth as a network again, we need to do much more streamlined scheduling
yeah.
for who is where and when. And also, everyone has to be healthy.
It was such an unfortunate thing. I wish that John got to be at
100%. I'm really sad that John wasn't healthy, but, like, everyone's got to be healthy kind of situation.
Yeah, that's true. Because that also impacts, like, you know, just how we're feeling for the day. Thankfully, I didn't get sick. John didn't get any of us sick.
Oh, yeah, that's always the big bit. If someone gets sick in my house, I will inevitably get sick. And I didn't.
You dodged
so, John, thank you for keeping your yucky germs to yourself.
Thank you, Jonathan.
Thank you,
The
Jonathan.
Other thing that happened on Wednesday, we kind of
didn't
talk
about. Do you
know
his name isn't Jonathan?
What is it?
It's just John.
How do you spell it?
J-O-H-N.
Oh, okay. All right, cool. Normally, a J-O-H-N's are Jonathan's.
I know. I got very confused by this.
Anyways,
what happened on Wednesday?
Not Wednesday. I was going to say that the other thing that we didn't talk about on Sunday was that we did get to interview Taryn as well.
Yes, that is when we got to interview Taryn, and he was so cool. It wasn't a long one. It was longer than we thought we would.
Yeah.
But that was also an interesting process.
While we were interviewing Taryn, Taryn's line started to pack up again, and I was like, oh boy. You know, I was just like, all right,
yeah,
we're
like,
limit our time on
we're
this
interviewing and... him literally across, like, the hallway from, like, where his booth is. And we're watching people line up and watching people look at us as we're interviewing. And he is...
How fucking dare you? And I'm
and
like,
honestly,
I know, I agree with you.
Honestly, he was so sweet about it. I tried to prep for it. I was like, how long do you want to be doing this? Like, I know you're doing signing and stuff. One, all of his signings were free.
Yes, that's true. I think
that was insane.
I was like, is this... Because apparently Kineticon was his first American con.
As a guest.
As a guest?
As a guest. He had been invited as like a presenter and stuff before.
Oh.
But this is his first con as like just a guest and a judge.
Interesting. Because he was also one of the judges, but you didn't get to interact with him then.
No.
Yeah. Okay.
So... Yeah, he looked at me and he was just like, for however long you guys have questions, like, I have nothing else to do. I have no panels or anything. And then we're watching his line build.
Yeah, which is why Sunday is the best con day.
Unless you want to go to panels.
Yeah, I get it. I don't really go to panels.
All right, now here's the time for our... We do have to judge this con. It is just like every other con for us.
It wasn't.
It wasn't, but it was. So, dear, we have our system. Our system is as such. Artist Alley, Dealer's Hall, Vibes, Guests, Panels. We have the added benefit of having been a pseudo-vendor, press.
Press privilege. Not press a privilege. Table, but something kind of
but
like
something that. Similar. And also having, like, a crew. We had a crew every day.
A motley crew.
A motley crew indeed.
Okay, I'd say that if I were to give this con a rating overall, it would mm-hmm. probably be...
How many acrylic pins?
Like four and a quarter.
Four and a quarter? I would give a four. Just a solid four. There were definitely things that could have been improved upon.
I mean, I think that...
I think the Artist Alley was unfortunately one of the weaker things.
It wasn't as good as it could have been. The Dealer's Hall, I found some decent stuff, actually.
Yeah, I think the big thing that made me upset is there were not a lot of pins, but then I went to Otakon, like 2 weeks later, and there were a shit ton.
That's the Gotacon, bro.
I know, and you didn't get to go at all.
I know, it's sad. Will you talk about that? You should do like a 20-minute episode where you talk about that.
Yeah, you can interview me about Otakon 2025. I'm not going to talk by myself for 20 minutes. It's really fucking depressing.
Hi, guys.
Hi, guys, it's MJ.
I just wanted to do a quick
Here's my quick breakdown of Otakon 2025. I only went as Saturday.
I kind of want to hear that.
No!
I think you could do it.
I think I could. I think it'd just be awful.
Just like it's just like an oratory.
No.
Alright, that's fine. That's
yeah,
fine.
But I think the Artist Alley was like a 2.5 this year.
Yeah,
and I think last year was like a 3.54.
But like I said, the Dealer's Hall was nice because I was able to get like some more tools.
Yeah. Yes, you actually got a really cool tool.
Yeah, I got a staple that would basically...
Plastic
like
staple.
A heat stapler, which is like, it takes a little piece of metal and it fuses between two pieces of plastic. And I'm like, dude, this...
Or I guess anything. Couldn't theory fuse between, like, wood or...
No, I'm not gonna do that.
Metal.
No, I'm gonna do plastic then.
Foam.
Okay. So anyways, I thought it was good. I think I'd give it a 3 or 3.5. I don't think it was that bad. I think it was... fine. Mm-hmm. It just I think that what you're basing this on is that like there was no art that you liked, but I think that in general there was
very varied art.
There was a very like good selection.
Yeah, it just wasn't for me. Yeah. The guests were awesome. I got to go to a Skate the Infinity panel and I watched the guys that voiced Reki and Longa slowly deteriorate Damon Mill's mental health with a horse game. The horse girl game. Mochipi plays it. She cosplayed it at Otakon. I'm very confused by it. I still don't understand.
I still don't know what you're talking about. And
there's
don't
like
have...
a horse mobile game.
I don't have time.
Where it's like anime there's girls, anime but they're game. Horses, and they're named after different race horses.
Are they more horse or girl?
They're more girl, with like horse ears and tails.
That's strange. Anyways, I want to say that talking to Jason, I realized that like there's so many aspects of conventions that are invisible to cosplayers, and that I want to kind of give... like my kudos to, which was it was pretty seamless for us to get like our press passes.
Mm-hmm.
It was always easy at Kineticon. They have this great thing where like there's a couple of different options for food. You go outside, there are food trucks, and mm-hmm. that's more of like the local type of food. And then inside, downstairs, like right at the exit of like the Dealer's Hall, Artist Alley.
Oh, there's just actual food
stands.
There's
food stands there, but like what's great about it, I think, is that they're literally like you just walk in line and then it's like ready.
Yeah.
They just give it to you. You pay and it's like, here you go. And I'm like, no matter how long that line is, you're in and out in like 5 minutes. And that's, I think, fantastic. I'm just mm-hmm. trying to think about this in like, you got somewhere to be, you're not wasting your time just trying to get food. You can get water, you can get whatever. It's all right there. Water stations, bathrooms were easy to get to.
Multiple bathrooms are always clean, and there's always so many of them.
The bathrooms were like impeccable at this convention. That's why I say for me, like Kineticon this year, like especially, I have to say it breaks four for me.
Yeah, I think it's at four because there's still a couple things that were like kind of frustrating for me.
Yeah.
And I'm like, this could have been better.
I guess. I don't know. And like, you know, all of the frustrations admin-wise are like definitely there for me. But like, for sure, it was all there. Wish I got to sample the Otakon this year so that I had something to compare it to and like recency, but it was good.
I think the one teaser I'll give for our Otakon episode, which will be like probably coming out next Friday. This comes out this Friday.
Ambitious,
I know.
We'll record it by next Friday.
Yeah. And then I'll be gone that week. And so you can edit it while I'm gone.
Oh yeah, I can. I'm allowed. This fucker's fucking smiling at me. Oh, I'm allowed, yeah. Nice, man.
Oh my god, I'm so pissed off now. What the fuck? Sorry, I looked over at Ryan's computer and it's scrolling through photos from our wedding, and the photo I saw was of my sister's goddamn motherfucker toaster, which is a bit that I will not explain, but it pisses me off.
Damn, the amount of times I've heard the toaster bit is
more. Shut the fuck up!
It's more than I've had toast in the past year.
I think you need to eat more toast.
Sure! Eat more bagel than I eat toast.
Yeah, but you toast a bagel.
Yeah, that does not count. You would not toast a bagel and call that eating toast. Nah.
Like, if it doesn't turn into a sandwich, yeah.
This has been Cosplay Con Crunch, cosplay podcast where two cosplayers talk about and rave about the things that they enjoy about being in cosplay.
And also hate about things that cause.
Nah, we have a hate podcast that's on our network. I'm not a hater. I'm only a lover, and
that is what I've the most been. Bullshit I've ever I've heard.
Ever been.
Ryan, you are the second biggest hater I know.
That's crazy.
I am cosplay_Cajun. You can find me on Instagram and TikTok as such. What are you?
I do not have an
TikTok.
I do not have a TikTok, but I have an Instagram. You can find me as Right Joy-Con Rye.
Is it because you're never prepared?
No, this time I did it for the flavor.
Okay. We are a Rocktopus Network podcast. You can find out more about other podcasts on our network at rocktopusnetwork.com. One of our great podcasts that you should be finishing up season two right now is Tales of Nowhere, a D&D playthrough show that is actually DM'd by our buddy Spencer and has Eric from Eric Hates Dragon Ball Z on it. Have a great rest of your day.
That sounded so awkward. I didn't like that.
Would you like to give a different outro?
No, I liked all of it up until... have a good rest of your day.
Okay, so...
Bye, everybody!
See you next time.
In New England on a Tuesday.